Well, it's Sunday morning, July 14th, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that teaches us our position in Christ. That passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to get them out and turn to that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we are covered by the umbrella of sovereign grace that includes your mercy, compassion, and love, your provision, protection, and in that we rest this day. Thank you for such faithfulness to us. Now we pray as we study the Scripture that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, and that we will learn this morning great truths from your word, and that we will be fed the truth which will nourish our lives to live for your glory. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we considered the truth in the book of Philemon about our position and how God saves or receives sinners. We learn there that God receives sinners just as he receives Christ, that he receives sinners forever, that he receives sinners into his own family as sons, and then that he receives sinners as those who are fully redeemed. Now today in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, we will learn of God's purpose in the election and our position in Christ. I want to read the passage. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now to understand any passage of Scripture, we have to find and this passage teaches us God's purpose in election and our position in Christ. And one of the words that stands out here is the word chosen. For God has chosen, God has called. It is what he is doing. He has a people whom he has chosen. And this passage tells us something about those whom he has chosen. He has chosen those who will understand that there was no merit in them or any reason of the flesh why God should choose them. But the purpose is so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, a second purpose here is to reveal our purpose or our position in Christ. And that is what we want to concentrate on this morning. We have been chosen in Christ. It is of him, not of self. It is out of God that we have been placed in Christ. And he has become our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Let's consider, first of all, that Christ has become our wisdom. Now, why is it necessary that Christ should become our wisdom? Well, it's simply that we do not have wisdom. And because we need wisdom, and it's a wisdom that cannot come from us, so Christ becomes our wisdom. And the main thought about this wisdom is, of course, spiritual wisdom. The wisdom to know and believe God. The wisdom to know and believe Christ. The wisdom to know and depend upon the Holy Spirit. The wisdom which includes discernment of right and wrong and truth. The wisdom which is necessary to understand grace. Now, this is particularly important for us today because our culture is in a state of tolerance. Tolerance is the religion of our society. And so we need to know right and wrong. And to know that there are absolutes, there is absolute truth, and we need the wisdom to discern that. We also need wisdom to make decisions daily as we live in this world, which is against us, and to be able to direct our lives toward the Lord. Now, Christ is our wisdom. And Jesus said, "Come unto me and learn of me." And doing that will bring us a mind that is unclogged. We will be in God's college of grace. We will have spiritual wisdom. It's interesting to read the book of Proverbs and to see just how intensely wisdom is presented in that book. And then, as we read Proverbs, we find that wisdom is personified. Wisdom is a person. Christ is the wisdom of God. And that is the wisdom of our position as we live here. Knowing our position is absolutely necessary for the believer. Christ is our wisdom. Let us look to him. Now, he is not only our wisdom, he is our righteousness. Now, again, we ask the question, why? Why is it necessary for Christ to become our righteousness? Well, simply a gift because we are not righteous and because we need to be righteous. No one can be in the presence of God unless they are righteous. Now, this word has a legal position. It is a matter of being declared righteous, that those whom God chooses and whom God regenerates and whom God gives faith, if they believe, they are declared righteous. That is our position. No longer guilty, no longer condemned. It is our status, our relationship, our position before God. It has nothing to do with us, our bad behavior, our good behavior. It is the gift of God, and it is absolutely necessary. And as we live here, we understand that we Christians still sin. And the guilt tends to invade our life. And we live with a sense of not being worthy. So we need to get back to our position, to know that there is nothing we could do to improve our relationship with God There's nothing we could do to destroy it because he has declared us righteous. That's our position. Now, another thing that Paul includes in this expression of our position is sanctification. And again, the question is, why does Christ need to be our sanctification? Because we are not sanctified, and because we cannot sanctify ourselves, and because we need to be sanctified, Christ must be our sanctification, which means to be set apart for holiness. That is our position. Now, it is interesting in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 14, that we read that, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So we have two things here about sanctification. First, it is our position in Christ. He is our sanctification. That is, he is our holiness before God. We have been made holy, and that can never change because it is in Christ. Now, in our present position, we are being made holy. We are being set apart. This is our present process. And every Christian knows and understands this, that in our experience, we do not behave in perfect holiness. And we need to learn and grow. And it is the commitment of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place where we will be presented before the Lord without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And we will arrive being fully sanctified. Now, another important statement about our position is the matter of redemption. He has been made for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Again, we ask why? Because we owe a debt that it is impossible for us to pay. It's the debt we owe to the justice of God because of our sin. Now, redemption means that the price has been paid. The punishment has been taken. And we are now debt-free before God. And this must take place because we cannot pay. It must be paid, and Christ paid for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that God said, you have to meet certain standards, or you have to perform certain works. It's that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here is our position. Christ is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. And he is our redemption. Now, what conclusions can we draw from this? Relating to the passage, we could say this. Knowing our position eliminates pride. No one who knows and understands this position can possibly have any pride or glory in the flesh. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord, in the position that has been given us. Now, why does God want us to be in this place before him? Eliminating pride. It is because pride is the worst human sin. It was the original pride. It was the original sin of Lucifer. It was the original sin of Adam and Eve. It is the sin that is in every unbeliever. It is the worst sin, the first in the list of sins in the book of Proverbs. Pride ruins marriages. Pride ruins families. Pride ruins churches. Pride ruins missions. Someone asked a veteran missionary, what is the most difficult thing in the mission field? He said it's for missionaries to get along with each other. And that's because pride hinders them. Pride is anger, desire to control. Knowing our position eliminates pride. Secondly, knowing our position elevates our exaltation of the Lord. We cannot help but put him in his rightful place of absolute sovereignty, resting in what he has done for us and in giving us this position, which is secure, which is forever, and which is ours. This is ours now. And we believe this by faith because it's the Word of God. And this is the way we live this day, giving glory to Him and exalting Him in the highest place. God has chosen us so that no flesh would glory in His presence. He who glories, let him glory. Who has given us our position in Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such wondrous grace. To think that we who are unworthy and undeserving should be given this position before you. And it's forever and cannot change because it is in Christ. Therefore, this morning in response of our hearts, we bow with the deepest sense of gratitude possible for us. We bow with the deepest desire of our heart to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. We bow in humility to offer ourselves to serve you and your people now and forever. Be pleased to answer our prayer because we pray in Jesus' name.